You reign, God. You reign. And we are here today because of you. We pray that you can help us to understand about your glory, to understand about your will. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me to communicate your word, and for everyone here can understand. We pray for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today is an introduction for a new series. We will begin a series of messages about an expression known as a Missio Day. Missio Day. Is there? Yeah. Missio Day. And Missio Day is a Latin theological term that can be translated as the mission of God or the sending of God. This is not a new concept. It's not nothing new. Because we can find this term, Missio Dei, in the works of Saint Augustine. In Portuguese, Santo Agostinho. It's easy for me. But it was a theologian called Karl Barth, who introduced this concept in the modern theology in 1932. So, having this term, Missio Dei, as our main theme, we can start ask then, what is the Missio Dei? If you have to pick, we have three options here. Next slide, please. Think about it. What is the Missio Dei? Choose one. Think about it. You have 30 seconds. Choose one. Think deeply. Okay? Who think is the mission of God is saving people from all nations? Raise your hand. No, you don't need. Who think that having his name glorified in all earth and among all people, this is the mission of God. Okay. Who think that bring peace and happiness for those believe on him, this is the mission of God. Save people from nations and bring peace and happiness for those believe in God are really consequences from the mission of God. But they are not the main purpose of God. The mission of God is glorify his own name. God acts not only in the New Testament, but he has developed his mission since the creation. This is what we're talking about. The whole Bible is about God's mission. Even the Bible is the first example of that God is in mission. He gave the word. So, before we start our theme today, our introduction, we need to have in mind three principles that will help us to understand the whole idea of mission God, the mission of God, during these five weeks. So the first principle is, the mission of God needs to be understood only through what only the scripture can reveal, and only through what all scripture can reveal. Oh my, this is too complicated for this time in the morning. So let's break in two statements, so be easier. So the mission of God needs to be understood only through what only the scriptures can reveal. There is another term, a Latin theologian term called sola scriptura. It's part of the 5 points of the Calvinism. And this is all about the only the scripture can reveal the specific and salvific action of God. So the objective revelation of God is in the Bible and only in the Bible. In other words, in the Bible we have all we need to understand about God. We don't need extra sources. We have everything. God provides everything in the Bible. And if you want to know about God, if you want to understand God's character, we don't need to ask anything out of the Bible. Just go to the Bible. We have the second part of the statement. The mission of God needs to be understood only through what all Scripture can reveal. Now we have another Latin term, theological term, that came together with the sola scriptura, that is tota scriptura. Tota scriptura. So in other words, all the scriptures teach us about God's mission. So we cannot pick, oh, today I want this for the scripture. Today I want this only in the New Testament or this chapter. No. The truth is the whole Bible talks about God's mission. We need to the whole Bible to understand the will and purpose of God. And the gospel is the good news of salvation that is found in the whole Bible. It's not only in the New Testament. So when you look at the mission of God through the lens of these two theological terms, when you look at the Bible with a lens, sola scriptura, only the Bible. And when you look at the mission of God, when you look at God with the idea that tota scriptura, all the Bible talks about the mission of God, we can see the mission of God reveal three things. First, God is a global God. God do not belong to one tribe. God do not belong only for the Jews. The truth is, Israel was chosen because of us. Was not because of them. They were nothing. They were not people, were not a nation. So because of us, because of all the nations, God chose Abraham and from him build a nation. And this nation should reach all the nations with the truth about the real God. So God is a global God. So God's mission is to glorify His name. It involves all earth and among all nations. So when you look through the lens of sola scriptura and tota scriptura, we can understand too that God is the God of the universe. He is not only a global God from earth, but He is a God of the whole universe. And this brings me I'm so glad with that. Do you know why? Because God's mission to glorify His name will be carried out because He is powerful to do so. It's not because of me, it's not because of you, because He is the God of the universe and everything will be done as He wish. We can see another thing here. When you look with the lens of tota scriptura and sola scriptura, is that God has the control over the history. The history is in His hands. So, I challenge you, when you open your TV, you turn on your TV, when you see so much tragic on the news, when you see so many people displaced of their house and run away, go for different countries, Europe, to find a place to live, and you try to see this, knowing that God has the control of history. God is in control. And the truth is, the many of these people, they are suffering. They are opening their hearts to listen more about God because they are suffering. When we are more, usually, when the things happen bad in our life, we go so easy asking more for God's presence in our life. Do you understand what I mean? When everything is okay, because there are nature, human nature, we just small softy, our relationship with God. Oh, it's okay. I come to the church. I read the Bible. I pray sometimes. But it is when the things are very bad, when you're suffering, when we have people around us who are sick, when you feel that everything, the ground, it's go away from your foot, your feet, that you start to bow your knees and God, have mercy on me, help me, I need you. So this kind of passion comes when we are suffering something. Many of people that are in Europe seeking for a place to stay, probably they'll never listen about the Christian faith if they were in their country. But now, God is reaching them there. In the 80s, starting in Brazil, a missional movement, very strong in the whole country. And we usually say, we need to go to the ends of the earth to reach people. The truth is, because God is in control, because God is the God of the universe, we can say in Brazil, oh, the end of earth has come to you. Because God is God of the universe. The second principle that you help us to understand the whole idea of the mission of God is the gospel is the good news of salvation that is found throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. So the gospel is not only the New Testament. We have gospel in Old Testament too. So the word gospel comes from the word evangelion. That means good news, good news. And it's interesting to note that what is good news for me could be a bad news for you. For example, last week I came here and I thought that I woke up with a very good news. That Brazil beat in Germany in soccer. So it was really good news for me. But problem was not a good news for my fellow Germans. Even in the Bible, we have something like that. Looks even tragic, but it's true. In the Old Testament, David, the King David was there. And one man came to him, a soldier, and came to David. King David, I have a good news. He used the Septuaginta, used the term evangelio there. So, King David, I have a good news for you. Saul is dead. If you remember the story, what's happened? David, King David was so sad. that he asked somebody to kill him. So what was a good news for that man, for that soldier, was still a bad news for him too. He died. Because for David, that was not a good news. King David respects so much Saul as an anointed one who was chosen by God, that this was not good news. But look into the New Testament. Look for the New Testament, the concept of the New Testament. The gospel is the good news about God's redemption. It's the salvation. This is the good news. And this idea, it's easily seen in the New Testament. But the truth is, this idea do not born in the New Testament. This idea born in the Old Testament. And the concept of gospel is born in the Old Testament and culminates in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus Christ. And we can say that, let's take a look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And we see Paul doing a connection between Genesis 12, verse 3, and they preach the gospel of the Gentiles. Take a look at what it says. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And announcing what? Announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. We have the third basic principle, is that worship is the ultimate goal of the church. And here, I will just read John Piper. John Piper said in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, he says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of redeemed fall on their face before the throne of God, mission will be no more. It's a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. This is so true. The reason for the church existence is worship. This is why we are here, to worship God. And worship is to love the glory of God. Worship is to love His holiness. Remember the Lord's Prayer? How when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer to His disciples, this was a didactical prayer. Was a model. Okay? And if you notice, He begins with the holiness of God, and He finishes with the glory of God. It's everything is about that. Not even our salvation must be an end in itself. I repeat, even our salvation should not be. It's not be an ending in ourselves. We can say thank you, God, for our salvation. We can adore Him for our salvation. But our salvation is not the end in itself. Because if you focus so much in our salvation becomes an idolatric object. And we start to idolatry. I don't know the verb now. You understand what I mean? It's to put our salvation as an idol. Just turn around. So, we are called to love the glory of God. We are called to love the holiness of God. This is the end. This is the ultimate goal of the mission. So, with these three principles in mind, let's see first how God led His mission In the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, God's mission in creation, Genesis chapter 1, I will read with you. I can read. And you just try to understand the whole process. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day. In the darkness he called night. And there was evening. And there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruits with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruits with the seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as a sign to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights. The great light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. And let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seedlings. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. I know it's a long part of scripture, but it's very good to understand better the whole idea of the God's mission, Genesis chapter 1. So, what was God's purpose in creation? What was God's purpose in creating the human being? We need to look at scripture and we see that in the beginning, when God created the universe, when God created everything, when God created heaven and the earth, He had already a purpose. We are created to fulfill God's mission. It's not different. When the Bible said that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, He had already done it for His glory. Psalm 19, verse 1, declares, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. It's the God's glory. All creation was made by God to glorify His own name. Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20-21. We can understand that we are created to glorify God. The Bible said, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, be understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Many theologians claim that the mission of God starts in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham. I propose today that the mission of God starts in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning of everything, the Holy Scripture begins with no presentation about God. It does not say anything. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. After that, what we saw here, we have a development of His will. There is an order in all creation. Everything comes in the right place, in the right time. It's not messy. Everything comes in the right time. So, we arrive in Genesis chapter 1, 28, when God gave a mission for the first family. The first family. And this mission is in a form of an imperative. He says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. They had a mission to take the blessing of the garden for everywhere. What is the blessing of the garden? Here, it's not only about the numbers. It's not about just, okay, you need to have more people on earth. It's not about only numbers. What God asked to them was, you have to multiply the same kind of relationship, the same kind of environment we have here in the garden. Adam and Eve, they talk with God. Adam and Eve, they walk with God. They have a close relationship. Adam and Eve had intimacy with the Lord. And when God asked him, go, multiply, take over. It's the blessing of the garden to whole earth. So the same relationship that God had with Adam and Eve here in the garden, he can have there in the end of earth with people. This imperative was followed by the ability to multiply throughout the land. This imperative was followed by the ability to rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In this order was implied not only the multiplication of people, but increase the range of the perfect relationship between man and God. But you know the history. We'll not talk today about that, but the fall. And they lost the way. And God had to do something, but you see the next God's mission the next week. But now what's happened is this mission of God is found inside this order that God gave to them. Adam and Eve should bring the blessing of the garden, the same kind of relationship to everywhere. Because God is a global God, He should be worshipped over all the earth. This is how the Bible begins. And this is how the Bibles end. In the beginning, with the blessing of God in creation. In the end, the blessing of God over the new earth and the new heaven. We need to understand that we are now heading toward that blessing, the heaven. And we need to understand that when you raise our children in the fear of God, when we love our neighbor, when we take care of the nature, when you take care of the animals we have, when we reject the evil, when you practice the justice, when we treat our wives well, when the wives treat the husband well, we are taking the blessing of God with us. We are called to bring glory in to God through our holy life as a God's people. This is how we fulfill our mission. Is show people everywhere how is our relationship with God. And that is possible to have a close relationship with our Creator. We are fulfilling our mission to bring glory to God through the holiness of the God's people. This mission was established there in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. He called Adam and Eve and said, go, be my example. Be the example for everywhere and show this kind of relationship. The mission was established when God commanded how we should live. Therefore, the foundation of God's mission is in the beginning in the Bible, is in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 tells us how God will lead His mission through His creation. It's the beginning of everything. This is what means Genesis, the beginning. And come, just one question for us today. Two questions. Or maybe more. The truth is God called us to cooperate with Him in His mission. The mission is not us. It's not about us. It's about Him. He will fulfill His mission. Because He is God. But he invites you to be part. He invites me to be part. Show people what is the relationship, our relationship with God. And the question is, how has it been our participation in God's mission? How it's your walking with God had bring glory to him? How my daily life brings glory to God? This is our mission. This is our mission. Next week, we will continue to see the mission of God and its implication after the fall. What's happened? How God deal with that? So I invite you to continue to pray and open your hearts. And most of all, be faithful to the calling of God. God called us to cooperate with him. It's a privilege for the church. It's a privilege for everyone here to walk with him and show him everywhere where we go. In Jesus' name, amen.